If you want to turn to John chapter 3, I entitled this, a pastor always needs a title ahead of time, and we always say that if it's, you know, we go a different direction, so we got a title there, so what, you know, but I titled this, Knowing the Spirit. It's important that we are led by the Spirit in these days, and to be led by the Spirit, you have to know the Spirit. And I probably missed on some of this. I know Pastor has, but it just impressed on my heart to go over some of these things and flow in this. So these are, in fact, last night in my sleep, sometimes God's talking to me, and I don't think I'm even awake. But he said these are perilous times. In fact, I want to look at something there. Just stay in John 3. So what this know also, this is 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in these last days perilous times shall come. And I think they're here, and maybe there'll be more perilous times, but the point I believe is we need to be led by the Spirit in what we do and not just flow with any wind of doctrine. We need to, if you're going to know, operate in the Spirit, if you're going to flow in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, you have to know the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to lay some foundation here, differentiation between flesh and spirit, but then we're going to look at, as we go, some indicators of the Holy Spirit. And maybe it's elementary, maybe we all got it, but we can always use a refresher, you know, if you're refining. So, I mean, if you're needing to know which way to go and you want to go God's way, it's nice to know there are some indicators in the Word of God that, this is the right signpost. We're on this road. I think we're going the right direction. I know we are. So John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, now this is a Pharisee, ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. They knew this. It's not that this was some hidden thing. They knew this. And they still operated the way they did. But he said, you know, this guy's curious. He said, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. They saw this. They knew something was up. So he's coming by night. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This Nicodemus didn't really know what he meant. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answers, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, you know, there's a natural birth here down below, so to speak, on this earth. And there is, when you get born again, there's a spiritual birth, obviously, from above. And I'm not minimizing flesh. What gives us authority in this earth is our earth suit. So I'm not saying we should walk around when, you know, we got to have a body to have authority in this earth. And that's a whole other teaching. But I'm not going to get into that. But that's the truth. Because when your body lays down and goes by way of the grave, you have to leave. People, when they die, they're gone one way or the other. They have no more authority in this earth. They got to go. Their spirit and their soul leave. So they're born above and born of the flesh and born of the spirit. But we're talking about here flesh. Actually, in the Strong's word, it means the body as opposed to the soul or the spirit. So we are a tripart being, but human nature and carnal. So, you know, we have to have a body to live here, but we're talking about the human nature, the carnal nature, the flesh, when I use that term. So Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You know, the fact is, and this is another sideline I believe the Lord wants us to touch on. Pastor talked about this, I've talked about this already. Our inner man is not aging. Our inner man is renewed day by day. That's the scripture reference there is 2 Corinthians 4:17, you know, our inner man is renewed day by day. When we're born again, the word says you become a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. But your body, your fleshly body has a brain. We know this. Your mind operates through that housing of the brain. So when people, you know, there's so much Alzheimer's and dementia, so much talk about it and so much of it actually happening. And, you know, you could be, a person can be sick in their brain, where it's not functioning right, but in their mind is there. I mean, the inner man is renewed day by day. Think about the rich man and Lazarus Jesus talked about. He said, remember, you know, when you did this. And in other words, that Lazarus was in the grave, and he said, you know, send word to my brothers. And you know, I'm not going to read that parable, but the guy was dead, and Jesus said, remember to him when you were on the earth, to the rich man. And so he's dead in the grave, but he has a mind. He remembers. So, you know, some, not here, but some people think when you're dead, you're dead. You're just off in the cosmos. But, you know, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion still functions. It's just that when your body's dead, it's not functioning through your brain. This is where people that go to hell lose their mind, so to speak. In that parable where the guy's building bigger barns, doesn't it say that this day your soul should be required of you? I don't think that necessarily means his spirit. I think he lost. And when you're in hell, I think you have no control over your mind. I believe I can prove that from the word. How would you like that? You can't control anything. You're in hell. And then you realize there's no escape route. I wouldn't like it. You don't like it. So this is what, it doesn't drive me, but it compels me and should compel us to have compassion, to speak the word in truth so that, you know, there's people out there in rituals. We'll talk about that in a minute. They think they're going through the motions. They think they're fine, but they're not. But the awakening to God is what is going to really turn. Well, the prophecy, one thing will save America. It's an awakening to God. It's not an election. So I don't want to get off on that. Maybe a little bit later. So when you leave here, you die. You step out of your body, but the brain, your brain's buried, but your mind you have. You still have that. There's a reference people talk about in aging, the natural life. My point is on, settle down, Arendo. My point is on dementia and Alzheimer's. We can stand against it. You know, Glenn Campbell just died, and I remember he said he was born again December 19th, 1981. So I believe the man was born again. But I mean, unfortunately, he had that issue. So we, as a body of believers, we can stand, each of us can stand against dementia or Alzheimer's. We don't have to have this. You can speak to your physical organ of the brain, have it work right, house the mind so you can function. You know, people say, well, you know, you're getting old, and you get, you know, sometimes when I take a day off and help Darlene at the coffee business, you know, you meet a lot of people, and you'd like to slap some of them the way they talk. You know, getting old, yeah, you know, 70, 80 years. These, a lot of churchy people, 70, 80 years. Well, we know, you should know, that that's talking to the children, the disobedient children in the wilderness. That's not for us. Genesis, the reference is 6:3, says a man's day should be 120 years. But that, now this goes along with what I'm talking about, knowing the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. You're not going to get to 120 years old unless you're led by the Spirit. I just got news for you. You know, yeah, if you're not led by the Spirit, you probably walk out in traffic and get killed in these days. You know, you probably get in the wrong plane and go down in a crash. So I'm talking about, and you're probably just living the flesh. So, yeah, the Bible says a man's day should be 120 years, but we need to be led by the Spirit. So, I just wanted to touch on the fact that the aging thing, don't buy into it. Don't take it. Don't buy into it, because your inner man's renewed day by day. And you can be sharp. You know, I want to, if Jesus tarries, I want to die young at a very old age. You know, I believe in here, we have a lot of different ages, but I mean, when I look at some of the people that are much younger than me and I see how they function and see how they talk and see how they think, I'm thinking, oh my God, there's no hope for America except for an awakening. And so the devil has got a path going here. He set this up for decade after decade. century after century of ritual and things come out of our mouth. But so Jesus is differentiating between flesh and spirit. So it's important we know not to be led by, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but I don't want to be led by something like Gideon putting out a fleece. I mean, if you put a fleece out nowadays in the new age we live in, the new age, the new covenant, you're going to get fleeced. I mean, that's not for today. So, you know, God, if I'm supposed to join the fire company, have the fire truck go by twice. Man, you'd be going to join the fire company right now, right? Is that being led by the Spirit? No. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's led by the flesh. Oh, God, show me a red pickup truck going by at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if I'm supposed to buy a red pickup. You know, the devil can operate in this natural realm. Not that he's going to send a red one by so you get a new pickup. He'll probably send a red one by, have you buy two times the truck you can afford, and lose it in about a year and a half. That's how he operates. Now turn to John chapter 4, to the right a little bit. This is a story about the woman of Samaria at the well, at Jacob's well. I'm going to talk about not getting into ritual here and not getting into religion here. And it's the flesh. And John, there's a lot here, but I'm just going to break into verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem." When she said "you say," she's talking to him as a Jew, to Jesus as a Jew. The Jews say to worship in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. But Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father." You know, some people feel like they got to go to the Holy Lands, to the Israel or what have you, to really get close to God. You know, we want to, and this is elementary, but we don't want this creeping in. We don't want geography influencing us. You know, wonderful. If you go to Israel and you feel close to God, great. But realize when you come home several thousand miles, you can still be close to God. It's a heart issue is what I'm getting at. It's a heart issue. It's not a flesh issue. Oh, I got to go to this holy pilgrimage. And people do this, you know. People have this religious idea they got to do on this pilgrimage to go somewhere to feel God. We had a marvelous opportunity to go to the Southwest Believers Convention this year. I mean, reserved seats, the whole nine yards. And I'm chomping because we were there like 13 times already. Haven't been there in a few years. But it just didn't work out. It just, scheduling-wise, we had a commitment we made prior. We couldn't get out of it. But I made up my mind, okay, fine. And we were in the convention online and heard some marvelous things. So do I have to feel like, oh, I wasn't in Fort Worth, Texas at the convention center. I can see my seat. I can see that section right up front there. Do I have to feel like discounted? Now I'm only getting like 30% of what God's saying. No, it's a heart issue. Now, if he said to us, "I want you there this year," and we said, "Nah, I don't feel like it. It's like, I got to get ready." And that's a lot to get ready. I'm telling you, when you're there 9-10 nights and you... God, it's a lot. But if we decided we're going to be lazy, we don't want to go through that, and we're not going to get what we should. But it's a hard issue. We're not following the heart of God on that issue. So he said to her about verse 22, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers..." Okay, stop there. If there's true worshipers, what's implied here? There's false worship. There's phony worship. You know, there's a couple of things. The Bible's very clear. The things God cannot do. And one of them is God cannot lie. But how many know who's the father of lies? The devil is the father of lies. This is what I meant by, for decades and centuries, he's been working on religion to dupe people into... And I'm not here to criticize and judge and slam anybody, but I may give some examples, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. But you know, if I don't want to be in a service, and pastors thought about this, I don't want to have smoke coming out here, like acting like the Holy Ghost. That is an offense to me. I want the real Holy Ghost. I think it's an offense to Him. Now, I don't know, some probably good churches do that. I don't know, but for me personally, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to just have Old Testament worship. We're not in the Old Testament. We have, it says here, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. We have a granddaughter that's a natural dancer, but I don't want to see her up here waving flags in a church service. I mean, she is like ballerina material, I think. But I don't want to. I'm thinking, don't go that direction, and she won't. But you know, we got to realize who we are in Christ in the new covenant. I'm not criticizing anybody. People need to be educated, but when they hear the truth and just, this is our, like the Pharisees. They were the word people of the day. Nicodemus, at least, I believe he got born again, in my own personal opinion. He had the guts to go out and ask the questions and take the rough answers from Jesus. But, you know, the ones that hear the truth and now, yeah, we shouldn't do this. But, yeah, like Pastor said, it's a money thing for some of these pastors and people. You got to keep them happy. You got to keep them flowing. Well, are you happy? I'm happy. If my toes need stepped on, here they are. So, we're wrapping this thing up. What's the best way to use our time in these last moments of time? I want to maximize every second. I said this to somebody, I feel like we are using, and you probably too, everybody feels this way, it's just some of us really are doing it. No, I feel like we got to make every second count. I'm serious. It's like, wow, but you know what I'm talking about, this busy age, but you've got to, and when you're doing it, you just got to have your heart turned towards God so you're not missing it, so you're not going off too fast for conditions. We got to know the Holy Ghost, so beware. I'm not talking in here by any means. I'm talking about out there, there's phony worship the devil is promoting, and maybe well-meaning people in a congregation think, oh, that's nice, oh, look at them up there and all that, but we want true worship. It says the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, verse 24 says, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We know we're spirit beings. We have this body. We have to have this body to live in this earth. And we have a soul, a mind, a will, our emotion. Your soul is in your spirit. It says in Hebrews 4:12, I believe it is, the word can divide the soul and the spirit. By the way, turn. I'm going to come back here, but turn to Hebrews 4:12. This is just something I learned from Billy Brim, and something maybe you can use in the days of terrorism. And this country is protected, but it says in verse 12, 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder in soul and spirit. So the word can divide the soul and the spirit. And of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. The word of God, He. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. You know, when there's been alerts, so to speak, about terrorism, that sort of thing, this is one of the scriptures I'll go to. There is nothing that's not manifest in His sight. All things are naked, open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We have the Word of God as a powerful weapon against terrorism. We can pray for our law enforcement, pray for our intelligence agencies, that there's nothing that is out of their sight. They're picking up on everything. And I mean, this country is great. We've got the best military, the best intelligence, I believe, that's out there. But we need to back it up and undergird it with the Word of God when you pray. I mean, to me, I want to pray with some backing up. I mean, just bless the CIA. Well, no, I want to undergird it with the word that you speak, and angels of God can get on this thing. And then, believe me, it's just, it's an amazing thing when you can put the word behind your prayer and you have an assurance in your heart. So we don't want to just think that we got to go and get up a group to go to Israel and maybe we can hear God better. No, if we ever do get a group, a church to go there, great, but it's our heart, and we can have that here. So there's true worship, there's phony worship. True worship is not about the facility. You know, one time I went to this, I was taking somebody's, anyway, I went into this church, I got to the wrong church. And these people, I said, we're going looking for this church. Oh, no, this is this church here. But here, let me show you the sanctuary. Don't you feel God? You had to look at their sanctuary for them. And it's not the facility. Great if it's really nice. But, you know, we could look at the underground church. How do you think they function? You know, they don't have a real nice sanctuary. It's not about rituals. It's not about memorization, prescribed methods. You know, One time I dated a girl that was a Catholic. God bless the Catholics. I'm not criticizing them. They're born again, spirit-filled. A lot of them are. But I walked into this mass, never having been in there before, never having known the Apostles' Creed. And I was already born again. And they're going over this Apostles' Creed. And this is really good, I think. I'm thinking, if these people know, do this and believe it, they're born again. But what true worship is not just this memorization of it, and we go over it. In fact, we were at a memorial service, you know, was at a Lutheran church. And I'm not criticizing, God bless them, Martin Luther, all the things, but what I'm against is religion, whereas ritual. Oh, we're going to do the Apostles' Creed. We can just say it by heart. Now, you can probably say it. I can't. You learned it as a kid. So, but I mean, yeah, thank God. If they're into this and they believe it, they're born again. But how many are just religious? Karl Marx said religion is the opiate of the people. It dupes you into thinking you did something. And, you know, well, and how many? You probably have the same experience. When I talk to people of the church, not this church, of other supposedly Christians, hopefully they are, but I think some of them have this idea, like St. Peter's at the pearly gate. They got a scale here. Well, yeah, I did this, and oh man, but oh, I did this, so we're okay. Oh, you go in. I mean, oh gosh. I can't name names, but I mean, just some of the things that I hear, it bothers me, because you think about the way you went in life and what little word or what word we do have, we know some things. And then you look at maybe people from the past, friends that went another way, and they seem like their knowledge of what the only thing that really matters, God and eternity, their knowledge is less than the baby there. Their knowledge is less than, she knows more than they do. How sad is that? And your heart goes out to those people. And that's what makes me so mad about religion. I'll tell you what, I hated religion. I think I said that just before. Before I was born again, I had my hair down to here, and I came back from college, and I went to the Brethren Church. I said to my mom, I said, oh, I hate those people. I just want to go in there. And I didn't mean that, but I was angry, and I wasn't born again yet. But religion, and then, you know, Pastor talks about that. You get to hate religion. So, and we got to guard against it. This message is just to, hey, check up on things. You know, and again, thank God for the Lutherans, thank God for the Catholics, thank God for the Methodists. Think about John Wesley and all these people. You read about some of the Revolutionary War times and the Word of God people, and where have we gone? And we, as the Word people, the Word of Faith people, don't want to become the Pharisees of the day. We will not let ourselves do this, will we? No. We're going to operate in the Spirit. So this is what this is about today and next week, about indicators of the Holy Ghost. You don't want to think you're being heard for your much speaking. So God is not a mind, He's not a brain, He's a spirit, not rituals. The guy I was helping only one day, and this guy, he looks like Al Pacino. And he comes down through, I told you about this, in the offering one day, and the Lord says to me, and I knew he was coming right to where I'm pumping coffee, and he says to me, you tell him I love him and you minister to him. I think, oh, yeah, God, thanks. I mean, that's easily said, but, you know, but it worked out, because sometimes we're so busy you can hardly even, but he opened the door wide open, and I went in. But in his, and I plant a lot of seed, but in his deal, it's, you know, he's the one that said, oh, yeah, when I mentioned the Bible, he said, oh, the Bible, yeah. And he had some good Catholic knowledge. He grew up that way. And, man, I thank God for the Catholics. They teach things. This guy knew some word, but in his mind, God is a brain, you know. We're just all here in the cosmos. So I said, you know, I know there's a hell. And I know there's a heaven. And he says, aren't you concerned? He said, and I'm not going to argue with anybody, but this came up. And he says, I'm not concerned. I don't believe in that. So, you know, I believe the word planted there, somebody else will water, and I believe something like that will get born again. So we're looking at flesh versus spirit, and we need to be led by the Spirit in these days, like we said. And, you know, you need to know the Word of God. We need to know this Word inside out. We need to know it, study it. It's life to us and health to all our flesh, the Bible says. We judge things by the Word. But, you know, what about, like Pastor says, the Word didn't say, Ed Gibson, you are to be a pastor in Lebanon. You know, the Word doesn't say if you're looking for a vehicle or, you know, if you're got to make a business decision. And there's things, you know, you got to make decisions, and they're big. And we've done this, and I'm sure you've done it. I mean, you've got to get it right. And sometimes it's like, in spite of yourself, you get it right. But, you know, the Word doesn't say, well, you should open up this here. You should get into that over there. And I could testify on my appraisal review business how absolutely miraculous things happened to get me divine, what's the word? Divine contacts. I mean, divine meetings, divine appointments, yeah. In a restroom, because we all had to introduce ourselves in Chicago, and there's George Sikorsky. He said, I started appraising in 1968. I'm thinking, oh, listen to this guy. And we're there getting review designations. I'm an MAI, I'm quote-unquote expert in the commercial appraisal field. But I'm getting this review designation because I do a lot of review work, review other people's work. So I thought, man, this guy's great. So turns out we're in the men's room, and he's right aside of me. And I said, hey, would you be interested sometime? Maybe I could work with your company. He says, oh, yeah, because he knew when I introduced myself. So we went on there. And anyway, this worked out through the period of time. Later on in the year, some things opened up. I called him. He says, oh, yeah, I remember you. Different things. And I can't get into all the details. But then his partner talked to me, and he said, well, in Pennsylvania, we don't really always have a lot. But, you know, it could be a year. It could be a couple months. I think it was the next week I get an industrial building to review in Pennsylvania because we're using our faith, you know. I'm talking about an example of being led by the Spirit. I'm not bragging on me. So I get that. And then, I don't have all the timeline maybe in order here, but then on my position with USDA as a staff appraiser, regional appraiser for the Northeast, there's five of us, 13 states, I mentioned at our get-together meeting when they regionalized, I said about, you know, there's this course that I had already taken on review that would help our people a lot. They got excited about this and decided our guys are going to take it in Lancaster, and then all of a sudden, no, we're going nationwide. Everybody's going to take it. So I'm in the shower one morning thinking, Lord, did I miss this? We spent, what, $2,500, $3,000 getting me to Chicago for a week. And I got in the very premier class, which is impossible. I mean, this is for the officers, but we decided we're going to go for this. And believe me, I didn't really feel like traveling to Chicago again in December of 14, it was 13. So here we go. So I called out there, and he said, well, we're full. I'll put your name on a waiting list. But, you know, we can only have 40 in this class in Chicago because this is a training facility, and that's basically what we're holding here. So, okay. All of a sudden, a few weeks later, we get a call from the guy. He says, you're number 14 on the list. We're taking 14 more. You're in. So I get my plane reservations, get going on that. I mean, I get into this class, and I'm in with the big names of the Appraisal Institute, which is my group, the officers, the big guys, the local big guys like this George Sikorsky. I'm in with them. I got in because of God. Me from Bethel, Pennsylvania, I'm in. I get this contact, this divine appointment. In a men's room, we're talking. It's like, and we got to make this appointment. We get to talk later. I'm in with the company. I contract with them, you know. They send me work. I do it. They send me a check. So my point was, I'm thinking, okay, now all of our guys in the country, there's 30 of us appraisers in the nation, are going to get this. Did I miss this? I could have got this free. They go send me to St. Louis. I could get this. Did I miss this, Lord? He said, no, and I'll tell you why tonight. Now, this is before that first assignment came in. That night, that assignment came in. Because I was thinking, is this really a contact? But it was. This has been thousands and thousands of dollars over the last couple of years of evenings and weekends. Every second has to count, you know. But there's a grace for that. And so am I telling you to get a part-time business? Am I telling you to do this? That no, you got to be here from heaven. And there's other things supernatural. Like, I mean, I got into some things that are unheard of. I mean, they called me Christmas a year ago and said, did you ever do co-ops? And I said, well, I appraised a co-op did something in Chester County. Well, here we go. We haven't even done this, but this is a co-op in New York City, co-op building. These are, I mean, I talked about this probably before. These are, some of them were $150 million deals. Some of them were 10, 12, 15 million, you know, 30 million. And we learned, we felt our way through this and figured out how to be experts. And we're one of the few companies that can do this. And I mean, it's like, you know, a piece of cake. And now, you know, I've noticed this. This is maybe off track a minute, but, you know, when we were viewing these, bing, 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 we're starting to get where these appraisers, who are also MAIs, but these have to be reviewed by bank regulation. These are big numbers. They're a little sloppy. And then I got some recently that are really sloppy, and it's because I find out the bank's doing some of their own reviews and that they're not putting them outside contracts. So, you know, be quality, people. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to be quality. You're going to be the Mike Loser in the world of being a technician and Arley. I mean, be quality. I'm not puffing his head up, but I know his skill. You're going to probably be the best teacher in the group. I'm not saying you've got to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. What I'm saying, though, is you know who's inside of you, who is the best. So, praise God. I got off on that a little bit. Hopefully that helps somebody. But, you know, you need to know it didn't say, Mike, start a rental appraisal consultants, but we were led. And believe me, when I prophesied here the other week, I said about you probably don't remember this, but it's like I could see you in a tunnel, and it's starting to get light because you're going the right direction, but how do you know which way to go? And the Spirit of God said through me, it's an incline. Not that it's straight up, you can't do it, but it's not always the slope down, just float down, do the easy, you know. Now, usually with God, you got to apply yourself. So that's one thing. The word does not say thou shalt buy a Chevy, thou shalt not buy a Ford, or vice versa, or a Toyota. You know. But it does say about in the book of Acts that they were all in one accord. And in the book of Genesis, there's one translation that says that God drove man out of the garden in a fury. So did God get an old Plymouth, and wasn't it a Plymouth fury? Did God get one of them and said, Adam, you blew it, get in the back, we're gone. That's a little humor, but so how do you know? I'll tell you that later. But how do you know what vehicle to buy? And that's important, isn't it? How many ever bought a lemon? I didn't, but I don't want to. So, and the other thing is, listen to me. I'm not minimizing the Word of God one iota. But we need to know this. We need to know it. We need to feed on it. It's our life. I want to say this right. I don't think there's any of us in this life that can know this well enough. And I mean, even have 120 years. We're going to be learning this thing. We're going to know this inside out throughout eternity. And this is not going to be boring. This is amazing what's coming. And, you know, instead of people, you go to class reunion and then people are talking old and, oh, they're getting ready to get in the grave. Man, I'm getting ready to get started here. We got a future first here and then in. But there is none of us that cannot be tricked or deceived if we don't watch it. I mean, you want to know the Word, and the Word is more than enough. You can be healed, you can be prosperous, you can be all that. But what I'm saying is, when the Apostle Paul says, we know in part, he penned two-thirds of the New Testament by the Holy Ghost. He saw Jesus, and if he says we know in part, you know, we have to hook it up with this plus the Holy Ghost. And if you're born again, you got the Holy Ghost. I'm not just talking about the baptism. Oh, praise God for that. But we need to have the Word coupled with the Holy Ghost. We have the charismatic renewal, the Jesus movement. We have the Word of Faith kind of thing and started teaching the Word of Faith and others. And now what we have is, and it's been prophesied, that's what's happening before the end, the Word and the Spirit come together. And it's been prophesied that heaven and earth are coming together. And I can see it. You can see what's going on. You're hearing more and more about people that are going to the other side. Dr. Gary Wood just passed away the other week. He, in 1967 or 6 or 8, I don't know. He died in an accident. Anybody ever hear of Gary Wood? Probably not. He died in an accident. A log truck hit him. He was a singer in college, wanting to be a singer, a ministry in singing, and psalmist. So he got hit by this log truck side of the road, ran into it, couldn't see it, killed him. His sister was alive, called him back, said, Jesus said to him, you've got to go back. While he was there, he saw warehouses filled with parts, you know, eyes and ears and legs and feet. He saw this. A friend who had died a little bit before, he was like 18 then. A friend who had died before, a friend of his high school, showed him around heaven. But then Jesus said, you've got to go back. Your sister is calling you. He went back. To this day, well, today he does. He just passed away the other week. He never had a voice box. He's a singer. He never had a voice box. When he was coming out of this, when he came back into this body in the earth, and I had to recover. But one day he talked to the nurse, and she just screamed and ran out of the room, I think he said, because he can't talk, but he talked. He's a singer. He's a minister of the gospel. He just went home. In the 50th anniversary, basically, of when he had that accident. So, anyway, he talked about visitations and things happening just before the return of Jesus. Believe me, we're in it, folks. I mean, we talk about setting ourselves to live to 120. That's great, and that's a good thing, but realize I don't think we're going to have the opportunity because I think Jesus is coming back. So we want to couple the Word with, we want to trust the one that's in us. We want to listen to the Spirit. You know, we don't want to be lacking in Word. I mean, there's no excuse. You need to stay in the Word. I remember hearing Gloria Copeland one time saying in a healing school, she was teaching, and she said somebody came up to her and said, Gloria, I've done all I know to do. And the Spirit of God prompted her saying, you just don't know enough. But, you know, so we want to know enough, and we want to know the one that's inside of us that'll lead us. So John 6:63. John 6:63. This is like a hub of where the scripture we're using this week and this and next week, I believe. This is key. And I really love this scripture. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickens. Now that word quicken is an old English word, is a King James word. It literally means to make alive or making life. A Strong's definition says it's vitalized, to make alive, to give life, to quicken. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. He is the quickening Spirit. This is one of the ways you can, an indication that it's the Holy Ghost and not your flesh. Getting ahead here, but it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. How close is that to Proverbs chapter 4? And I'm not going to go over there, but you know, this all lines up. The Word is Spirit, the Word is life, the flesh profits nothing. Of course, he's talking about the carnal nature, because the flesh here does, you have to have the flesh to live here. But, so the Spirit quickens, the Spirit's making life. He's the Spirit of resurrection. And guess who lives in you? The Holy Ghost, the quickening Spirit. If you're born again, he's there. You yield to him, he'll manifest to you. Pastor talked about sorcery and getting spirits to manifest. And we have the Holy Spirit who will absolutely manifest. We have seen things in the last couple of months that I am so amazed. And it's live by video stream. Blind eye open, ear open, where there was no ear. A lady that was listening to a miracle service online or watching it online, this lady was a concert pianist, hadn't been able to play piano for 12 years, and was like, her fingers were curled. It was an epileptic or a stroke. Her fingers, her toes were curled. She could get around by crawling and pull herself up. Couldn't even do dishes. Couldn't play, obviously, couldn't play the piano. She used to play in healing services. She saw this move going on in a word of wisdom, and she and her husband got her in a truck, and they started heading. This was down Eagle Mountain, Fort Worth, Kenneth Copeland Ministries Church. They had a man named Billy Burke there. If you ever hear, get a chance to see Billy Burke, oh my gosh. And again, it's not the man, but there's a spirit of God moving within this right now. And she gets in the truck, comes into the service, 45 minutes, finally gets there, and she's testifying. She said, I can move my hands. That was a Saturday night. And they were talking to her. The next day, she was at the Sunday service. And wasn't it the Sunday service? She got up and that night? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, her hands loosened up. Her toes loosened up. She said, I can feel my toes. This is all live. Yeah, you're right. And then she starts walking. And she's crying. This is 12 years. She's like on her back and just crawling around trying to pull herself up. Can't play. Her passion. A concert pianist. Actually a professor at the one university she was. So then we see her starts running up on the stage here to a piano, starts playing. From nothing to that, by the Spirit of God, by a word from the quickening word. She knew it was a word to her, not just to her. It went off on her. She took it. They came. It started going more and more in manifestation until she's playing. So do you think that would thrill you if you could do, a concert pianist now can play again? She said she went home that night and played 2 hours. She has dogs that started howling because they never heard her play. And this is just amazing to me. And it's not, I'm not pumping up Kenneth Copeland Ministries. This is going on around, but it is going on, and it's real. It's not a bunch of flakiness that is imitation. It's not where you've got to have a smoke machine to get the Spirit of God to move. It is where that pastor sees the Spirit of God coming in, but he sees the mist and sees it. I don't doubt in one iota. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of life, and he's not. Again, the counterfeit, the devil, is the spirit of death. Again, decades, centuries, setting up religion. And if I get on anybody's toes here, forgive me, but I got to say this. We don't want the jargon of scare me to death. You're killing me here. I just love him to death. The devil, the phony, is never going to prompt the world to speak life. And now that should sound really foreign to you. When somebody says to me, you're killing me here, or scare me to death, that goes off like a gong in me, and I don't necessarily correct them. But if it doesn't go off on you, check yourself, because it should. And if you're saying, that, you really need to check yourself. That's just a word to the wise. So you never hear them saying, hey, you're quickening me here. The devil's not going to prompt the world to say that. Laugh till I thought I'd live forever. Laugh. Instead of laugh till I thought I'd laugh. Charles Capps used to say that. I love that. Laugh till I thought I'd live forever. How scriptural is that with the message of the joy of the Lord? What is the scripture? The joy of the Lord is your strength, and a merry heart doeth good. Why not say it? Laugh till I live forever. You're laugh till I live forever. You're pretty scriptural. And tickle me to life, So, You gotta guard you that. I'm not judging you. You want to talk death, go ahead, but you're never going to see 120. I will guarantee you that. You may hit the 70 or 80 like the kids in the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of life. We shouldn't be talking death, and I'll tell you why. You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to. This, in meditating on this, the Lord really brought this out to me. Out of respect to Jesus, I take correction on myself. I'm not hammering you. I'm not talking down to you. In Hebrews, it says, 2:14, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death, in other words, he died. Why? That he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So if Jesus is going to come and take a flesh and blood body for me, for you, and live his life, and die, and be resurrected, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, deliver us, get rid of fear of death. Out of respect to Jesus of Nazareth, if I say scare me to death, which I doubt I would ever say anymore, but if I would, I am going to get on my knees, or at least I'm going to repent and say, Lord, I confess that as sin. I missed that. I renounce those words. And I'm serious about it. That's how much serious I am about this. If you don't have that in you, think about, for me to do that, to slap in the face of Jesus. If you don't, and again, I'm not talking down to you, but think about who those around in the world that you hear. They've been duped for centuries, for decades. This has been set up by the devil. But there's a freedom coming. They'll see this. At least some of them will see it. How many of you, talking about the quickening of the Holy Ghost? I got born again November 19, 1976, and that was amazing. Because I didn't know I didn't know what is life about. This makes no sense. This is ridiculous. And all of a sudden, I got born again, and things started making sense. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God's not doing that to me. All of a sudden, it cleared up. And then, summer of 77, when I was starting to wane, thinking about there's got to be more to this, I heard a voice, somebody talking about the word of faith. And I mean, I can't tell you what it did. I about jumped out of the truck. I mean, so I turned the cab light on, I'm driving, I'm writing down the address, send for the tapes, and the rest is history. I don't understand people that, I guess they don't, again, I'm not talking down to you. I don't understand people that don't value the word. When you can give them an answer, you can minister to somebody and say, look, if nicely in love, you could do this, the word says this, or you could give somebody, Keith Moore said this one time, he said he gave one of his friends a tape, he said, you got to listen to this, cassette tape then. You got to listen to this. This is life-changing. I think it was Authority of the Believer, you know, something like that. And he went back the next week and said to the guy, did you listen to it? Well, I didn't get to it. And the guy said, you mean you listen to tapes? I mean, they're not music? And he said, yeah, listen to this. The guy never answered. Yeah, well, then a week later, he said, well, I listened to half of it. And I heard Keith Moore say this in my own ears. He said, you know, I'm concerned. I don't ever want to get to the point like these revivals of the 40s and 50s. Some of these people missed it big time and died, and the thing waned and all that. He said, Lord, how do I keep from missing this? God's using him mightily. How do I keep from? He said, you value the word. When I gave you something, you took it and you ate it. I'm not bragging on me, but that word went off in me. It was like I was about to wither on the vine, and all of a sudden there is a medium rare ribeye. Man, I'm salivating here. I can't get enough of this. So, again, I'm not talking down to anybody, but you know, you see examples like that. You know, and I just want people to get the word, get excited about it. But now I do understand why it is that way, because some people just don't value it. It's like the guy I ministered to. Brought up knowing some things in a religion and then some word, but you know, he's off into basically sorcery and that sort of thing. But the word, the quickening spirit, you know, another word is revive. It's like a jolt of electricity, the power without the shock. I mean, well, there can be a shock. It's the quickening spirit. There's times when a little less than a year ago, I needed to know something. We needed to know something about a direction, had to make a decision on do we do this or do we do this. There was a deadline we had to know. And if you don't have the information, you go with what you got inside. You listen, you quiet down. But we had this before God in prayer. We had asked him, according to James, if any man lack wisdom, you pray of it. We got it made, folks. We can ask God for his wisdom. It says he'll give it to us liberally and upbraid not. He's not going to say, who do you think you are? Doing this. I know what you did last night. No, he's going to say, I'll give you this wisdom liberally. Just confess your sin. But so I'm standing there in worship, and, well, no, it wasn't in worship. Many times you listen in worship, I'm getting things, but this was near the end of the message, and pastor said something. It was totally unrelated. If I told you, you'd think, how did you get that out of that? But the Holy Ghost quickened that to me. I knew exactly what to do. And I said to him afterwards, were you going to talk about this particular thing? He said, no, that wasn't in my notes. Here's an example of pulling, and I'm not bragging on me. You can pull out of a minister of the gospel is listening what you need. I don't care if it has to do with what kind of thing to put in the soup. You can probably hear from heaven on that. I mean, God will quicken you, and you'll know it. I mean, it was related in the spirit to what I'm talking about, but you wouldn't put it together naturally hearing what I'm talking about. So also, talking about death and speaking this, out of respect to Jesus, it says in 1 John 3:8, I know we're laying a lot of foundation, and we're getting there, but I'm just taking my time. This is, anybody getting anything out of this? Okay. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. To me, I look at that like he might destroy the works of the devil, which caused people in religion, unbeknownst to them. I mean, I used to speak that way, I guess. Scared me to death, or I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid. But I'll tell you what, when I dealt with phobia for real, and I knew, and I told you this many times, my dad was an Air Force pilot, I flew so many times with him as a kid, all of a sudden I can't fly. I knew it was an irrational fear, I knew it was a phobia. When I dealt with that and had to speak the word and get in faith and get delivered, then I realized fear would never again come out of my mouth except here in teaching. I don't speak fear. If he came to destroy the works of the devil, then who am I to be speaking these things? And, you know, I used to want to be a pirate when I was a kid, and a jewel thief, a pirate and a jewel thief. What? A kid, you know, not recently. But I personally don't want, if I had a motorcycle or a hot car, I think we saw this the other day, there was a skull with a fire coming out of it on one of these hot rods or something like that. I personally don't want a skull on anything of me, because to me it represents death, which is of the devil, and I don't want to glorify him. Now, maybe I'm a radical, but let me alone. I'm fine. So you do what you want. That's just a couple of things just to jog your thinking. Oh, they're cool. Well, to who? You know. And I'm not talking religion here. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm just jogging our thinking here. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to go all the way. So we're children of the resurrection. We're going to experience our bodies change from mortal to immortal. So again, like I said, this is one of the indicators that the quickening inside of you. And it's an indicator that it's the Holy Ghost. I mean, I sat in a church service after church service after church service, and I'm not telling you where, years ago, not in this church, and it was like, we're going to beat you again today, and we're going to beat you again next week, and maybe in 2 or 3 months you'd beat enough, maybe. Do you think that was quickening? I don't know how many weeks it was, I got not one thing out of that. And the pastor probably had an anointing, but he sure didn't know how to operate in it. And you got to know how to operate in it by faith. But, you know, there's time for correction. Hopefully that thing about the words of your mouth and the death is, I mean, that's, when God gives you something, it's for your benefit, and he always gives you a way out. Hey, I'm the spirit of life. Follow me. I'll do better than that. So, but this says the flesh profits nothing. The flesh is dead. The flesh, I mean the carnal nature, it doesn't lead you to life. But the words Jesus said that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it's a quickening. We know there's more than one kind of spirit. And, you know, you have the word, you have the Holy Ghost, you can try the spirits, you can listen. There was another time. In fact, it was when we were going to leave that church. We knew, like, it was coming. We're both on the executive board. If there's healing going on, I'm ministering it. They asked me to do that. I mean, I'm teaching. I have all this. I'm able to do things. But we just knew it's time. You can't. You gotta. There's just no witness anymore. But we knew it was coming, but that's not an easy thing. It's easy for me to say, yeah, we were this, we were that. I was a treasure. It was like a second job. But it's a big thing, and you know people are going to be upset. So we had this, but finally one day, I told you this before, I'm at a stop sign. I got quiet. Back road, I could stop a minute, got quiet. It's like, you know what you got to do, and you got to do now. So I knew it. That was it. Doesn't matter what flak we get, we're flying through it. So, and it was the thing to do. It was right by the Holy Ghost, not to hurt anybody. And I don't say anything that criticizing that church, that pastor. I'm criticizing religion. And so you got a witness in your spirit. Of course, it says in Romans that one of the things he lets you know is a witness that you're a child of God. When it's him, it's a quickening. When it's the carnal thing, it's like dead. It's like the, if I was up here and said, if you ever say fear again, God's going to drop you dead. I mean, there's no life in that. That's not a quickening. But if I'm, hopefully I did it right, that I'm leading you where you can endeavor to speak more life because it's pleasing to our Lord, the head of the church. I mean, and he's not going to, although I should say this, we live on a word-governed planet. You can't get away from that. But you can choose the words you speak. Jesus, or Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore you choose life. You choose. And so we live in this word-governed plan, so you want to choose words of life because Hebrews 3:1 says, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our profession or confession. The anointed Jesus, the Christ Jesus, he is anointed as the high priest to carry into effect your confession of faith. But there is one. If you're saying there, tickle me to death, you know, it'll be a trickle here, a trickle there, but you're bringing life into yourself because there's spirits out there that are going to latch onto that and they're going to manifest. They're going to manifest maybe in sickness, disease, maybe mind things. So, you know, you choose, and I know we know better than that. And by the way, as I mentioned in the offering the other week, you know, this religion of God is in control or you know, everything's under his hand. If he said, you choose, you know, you choose cannot be if he's in control. You know, he said, I stand at the door and knock. If he's in control, he's not going to say, you know, we have to say, come in. If he's in control, he's going to say, I don't care what you say, I'm coming in. That's not our God. That's the devil. He's going to press you and press you and pressure you. So, but I've found the quickening spirit of the Holy Ghost, even when, like I said, we got to make every second count. You know, I'm going to work a 10-hour day, then I'm going to start on this, and I got to do that and mow here and do that. So even in the pressure, so to speak, you can hear the quickening. And no, it's all right. You can do a lot in a minute. You can settle yourself down, or you can do a lot in an hour. You think, oh, man, how am I going to do? You fret for 55 minutes, and then you have 5 minutes to do something? No. You can just settle down, listen to the Holy Ghost. Of course, he may say you're too busy, too. So, but you get these things, you know, like, and you know, you may get something to an answer to a question, or else you might not even know it's the answer, but it goes off in your spirit, a quickening, a reviving, you know, hey, this is something's going on here. Your head's saying, what? Your head may not know yet. I've got that going for a couple of months now. I get a script in the middle of the night. I'm wide awake at this scripture. I know the scripture. And then right after that, he says a word to me. Just a word. I'm not saying it's the word. It's a word he says to me. So, okay, I'm following this, what I know to do. But I'll tell you what, everything I'm hearing here, other ministries I'm involved with, everything is flowing that direction. But do I know exactly how it affects she and I? Yeah, in here. Does my mind know yet? No. But I got it. You gotta have that faith and move on that thing. You gotta learn to be led by the Spirit and watch for that witness of the Spirit. I'll give you an example here. I like examples. Do you like examples? Talk about vehicles. This was years ago. The 96, what I call number 2 4Runner. At that time we had a 4Runner, and we had a red Honda wagon. I don't even think we were looking to replace the wagon. I don't know. But we're driving down a road one day. I don't think I even saw it. She sees over on this side, the corner of her eye, this other another 4Runner sitting there in a used car lot. She said something to me, and so I turn around. We go in there, and the guy's there. So we ended up test driving it. Drove it a short distance. I turn it over to her to drive. It's like, we got the witness here. We pull in at McDonald's down there in Myerstown, sitting there a minute in this thing thinking, yeah, we just knew. And the thing is, that vehicle had more mileage on than the Honda wagon, but we knew it was right. That was 128,000 miles ago. And it's just like we knew that very quickly. That's an example of quick. And that's nice because your flesh doesn't want to wait. But now then, I'll jump ahead to this example on a vehicle. Well, let me tell you this too about an example on a house. We built a new house in 2001, but prior to that, we had gone to these parade of homes, you know. We knew we wanted to build a house, not just buy one. But, man, we go to these parade of homes, mostly in Berks County, some here. We live in Berks. And many years we've gone to look at these things. In fact, we even met with a builder the one time. And he's going over these things, and wonderful, but no witness. No witness. You know what I mean by that? Just no witness. So, anyway, finally, we got to the point. We had this contractor we definitely wanted to use, and he said, well, here's a couple names of designers, not architects or designers. So we knew we were up next on his list to build, and we don't want to miss this slot. So we call this guy, and he starts talking to us and drawing different things and showing us some pictures, just no witness. And he finally, he realizes we're at this level here. He says, here's a page and here's some blocks. Just do some stuff. Put blocks together. And so, and then he starts getting a clue what we're looking at. And he says, well, look at some of these. We drove over to different developments, different things. Finally, he drew that house. I'd say it's exactly what we had in our spirit at the time. Now, you always would change a few things after you live in something for a while, but this was exactly what we wanted. We had a witness. And to think we could get into that house financially at the time, but we just moved in faith. The pastor had, we were at prayer one night, and pastor had a inkling that we were questioning, should we just go smaller? And he picked up on that and said no. And the rest is history. So, I mean, that's just an example of getting a witness. But now, I'll tell you something we're dealing with right now. Was it maybe March or April of 16, a little over a year ago? In fact, that 4Runner we talked about, our older one, had some issues, and Mike did something there. But it's running great right now. I got in that thing 270-some-thousand miles. I got in the other day, drove to my office in Lebanon here, and I thought, I really like this vehicle. The seats are torn and everything. We're going to get a new one or like new, but I really like that vehicle. It's just great. Yeah, we're outgrowing it. We need third row for the grandkids and all that. But so this thing was missing one day, and we had to meet our son-in-law to drop grandkids off somewhere in Mannheim because he was coming back. We went down to East Petersburg, stopped at Lancaster Toyota just to look because we had thought about a certain model, Toyota Highlander. So, and if I know Rosie has one, and they're great. They're great vehicles. So we test drove. Just weren't planning anything that night. Test drove it. Using some examples here to what I'm talking about. So, really nice. Really nice. So we go home. Salesman said, just let us know what's going on. We'll think about it. So he calls occasionally, and then we're thinking, we're glad to keep calling us because we're just trying to get settled. And this went on for months, and finally we realized, your flesh gets to the point where this is nice. And they got a Pearl Blizzard White. It's really nice. It is nice. I mean, it's okay. And when she says it's okay, that means it's okay. And I'm at the point where let's just go buy this vehicle. This is a nice one, but that's in my head. The problem? No witness. Just no witness. Yeah, and we're looking to buy new or like new, and we're looking at vehicles right now trying to think, do we like anything? This is over a year, and we're starting to get a direction here, and we will. But you know what? There's another example. Once we know exactly what it is we want. And by the way, they had a platinum one there, the top of the line. We could have easily got in it. We could do this. And that's another indication. If you can do it naturally, maybe God's trying to push you. But where was I at there? They had a platinum. It's really nice. Once we get the witness, yeah, this is the right make and model. This is what we want. And that's the color, and we want this, and we want that. It's not long until it's in our hands. Because you gotta get that witness. So what time are we at here? I got a few minutes. Is it quarter after or something? Are you okay? All right. John said he's okay. Are you okay? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll look at a few scriptures. There's decisions. When I was early on in Christianity, and if somebody would have told me about this is an indication, then you realize, oh yeah, I've had that experience. I know what he's talking about. That would have helped me a lot. And there's probably people that did that. But you simply want to know who the Holy Ghost is. You don't want to miss it. We've all missed it where we settled for something. If we'd have settled for a smaller, if we'd have settled, we wouldn't have the house we are. And you don't have to have a big house. I'm not bragging, not saying anything. Because there's things I don't have finished yet that I want to do, we want to do. But we'd have settled. And we'd have settled on, we wouldn't have the properties, plural, that we have now. We wouldn't have the net worth we have now. I mean, I'm not bragging. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost who's interested, like Pastor's been talking. He wants us to, I almost said live long and prosper, prosper and be in health. Well, he wants us to live long and prosper, too, like Spock would say. We would have settled and wouldn't have... there's one property that if we wouldn't have got it, I would regret to this day, and I'd know we missed it. So, there's just, you got to get the witness. You've got to know what you're at. Now, hey, if we'd have bought a platinum Highlander, beautiful car, it's okay. That's a great car. It is. If we wouldn't, so we missed it on that. Maybe we just think, oh, I wish we'd have got that other thing. As soon as you bought it, drive out the dealer, you'll probably see one of the one you should get. So, and if we'd have settled, it wouldn't have been like a clang, Now there's times in life when you gotta do what you gotta do because financially you just gotta do what you gotta do. But I'm talking about us growing here. I'm not talking to anybody, man. I got a long way to go. Like Jerry Reed said, a short time to get there. Smokey and the Bandit song, that's not too far off of scripture, is it? A long way to go and a short time to get there. All right, I'll get off of that. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, we have a choice. We can walk after the flesh, the carnal, fleshly nature, or we can walk after the Spirit. When I'm tired and hungry, I have a choice. Do I always make the right decision? No, sometimes I get in the flesh and act like a baby. I might as well get down and crawl around the floor and hold my breath or something. And you do the same. Or maybe you don't. I could choose. Sometimes I say, Lord, just help me make it through this day without getting in the flesh. And he helps us. So, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, verse 2, has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's freedom in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In fact, if you look at 7:22, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We're talking about our inward man, renewed day by day. We are born again, the Spirit of God lives in us, but there's another spirit in there called the Holy Spirit who bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. He bears, and you get a witness, that's the right vehicle. You get a witness, that's the right property. You get a witness, yeah, that's the right tool for that job. You get a witness, I'm talking about, in any realm, and like Pastor said, I've had this, gift of the Spirit, and these witnesses happen in my natural job, which is supernatural anyway, more so than in the church, so to speak, you can rely on these things in your day-to-day life. So I delight in the law of God after the inward man, which the law of God is a law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It makes me free from the law of sin and death. 7:23 goes along with that. It says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, and which is in my members, the carnal nature, the flesh. You know, there's laws here, and there's the law of the spirit of life is like the law of lift in an airplane. You can get above the law of gravity. You can get above that. You can rise above the flesh. We have our bodies, and thank God we're going to get glorified bodies where we don't have to deal with this. I mean, that's going to be great. But for now, we need to know these things, to walk in the spirit of life, keeping you free from the law of sin and death. Verse 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. What's the flesh? It's weak, right? I'm going to set this down here. I just realized I am getting warm. If it was up to me, we'd be about 66 in here, Sherry, and then... So the you know, weak through what? Weak through the flesh. And in 8:4 it says the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And walking after the flesh is walking after the five physical senses. What I see, what I hear, what I smell, taste, feel. Now, don't you feel God? I know what people mean by that, but I don't like that phrase. You know, the Morris Albert song, Feelings. You know, anytime I get over in that, she'll start singing that song, you know, Feelings. Just old rock and rollers, that's all. Well, no, we're not old. So we are multi-part beings. Romans 8:5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And here's the thing. Your mind can go either way. Your mind is within your spirit, but your mind can mind the things of the flesh. Colossians 3 says, stay where you're at. I don't want to misquote it. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your affection on things above, not things on the earth. So we can set our mind on things above, the spirit of life, or we can set our mind on the fleshly things. Your mind is the deciding factor. This is why Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be conformed by the renewing of your mind. Like Brother Hagin said, that's the number one thing Christians need to do, is the renewing of the mind. So, you know, how many times have you, maybe it's just me, but there's times when I'm in bed or somewhere else sitting, meditating on the Word of God, thinking about it, and all of a sudden, I catch myself, I don't know how long it's been thinking the other thing, that, what? How did this happen? What am I thinking about? And it could be something really generic, not bad, just, but, you know, you got to keep your mind set. Rein it in, yeah. So, we are a spirit, we have a soul, mind, will, emotions, and we live in an earth suit, a body. So our minds can contact the flesh on the outside or the spirit on the inside. Our minds are the deciding factor. It's up to us where we direct our minds. So we can choose to focus on what we want to focus on. And again, you got to rein it in. You think, oh man, you're really spiritual here. You're trying to meditate on the Word. You got to minister here Sunday, and what are you thinking about? A loaf of bread, or I don't know. But that's, you know, it's just you've got to keep the mind in a direction. And we've got to become God inside minded. We've got to realize that we have no more sin consciousness. Jesus paid the price for that. We're not old sinners saved by grace. We have a righteousness conscience. We're God inside minded. Who lives inside of you? Who's going to bear witness with your spirit? When it's right, it's right. You know? By the Holy Ghost. We need to know these things to be able to identify directions, indicators of the Holy Ghost. So these are two different, totally, completely different ways of living. And I feel sorry for the ones that are in the church. Maybe they even are Christians, but they're in this ritual. Not even the smoke machines, not even the flag and dancing all over the Old Testament and all that. Not even any of that, but they're in, Oh, you broke, no, you can't do that now. You have to do that after we do this. That's the way it is. Bulletin, bing, 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 bing. Don't go out of that. Maybe that's why we didn't get to the opening song. Maybe God was Oh, God. But anyway, so I pity the people who are in this church, not this church, but in these churches that you think about moves of God, like I said, the Methodists, the Lutherans, and all the, my mom, my parents grew up brethren, and that's where I went to church some when I don't really recall learning a thing, but it's not their fault. I didn't get it. Because, you know, I was in rebellion if I said I hated everybody. So she said to me one time, though, that, in fact, we were at Birch Road one time when the Durants were there. I mean, the Spirit of God hit me, and I took off running through the hall. Everybody was moving that night, or that day, and she was there that night. And I said, talking to her later, she said, oh, the Brethren Church, they had, like, camp meetings. They had Holy Ghost meetings back when. So let's get them in there again. You know, I feel for the religion. I hate religion. I don't hate the people. So if you got people that are just reciting, rote, and okay, I did something, I can go home now, but they're empty on the inside. You know, I had this, that church we were at, Darlene was in charge of the children's ministry. And the one summer, you set up Bible school. This was a week every night, wasn't it? And at that time, Willie George had this thing called The Gunslinger, a movie. Oh, I love that movie. You know, Kenneth Copeland, Willie George, Jerry Savelle was the preacher. This was an actual movie they produced. If you ever get a chance, it's on DVD now. It talks about the new man. It showed kids that even though somebody, Kenneth Copeland was a gunslinger, bad rep, got born again. Then he got hit on the head, got amnesia, or like Nicodemus said, magnesia. I mean, but it portrayed to the kids how even though the old gang came and said to him, oh, come on, let's go do some bank jobs. And so he didn't know who he was anymore. He said, he went out in that lifestyle again. His spirit, not condemned him, but convicted him. It hurt him because he was really born again. This is showing these kids life. So that week, you had a lot of staff helping that. I mean, there were kids in there from all around coming. There were, I think it was 54 kids got born again. So to tell you about religion, though, and I'm not criticizing this guy. He used to work for me. He was one of my assistants. Before I was an appraiser, I ran an office, a couple counties, big portfolio for the government on certain loans. But he was my assistant, and he goes to a certain denomination. And he seems like a great Christian guy. Yep, he is. You know who I'm talking about. So I said to him one day, I was excited. I said, man, this past week we had Bible school. 54 kids got saved. I didn't say, I used the term saved, not born. He looked at me with a dumb look on his face. He had no idea what I was talking about. That was so foreign to me. I thought, I don't hate him. I like to take a whip to maybe the pastor or somebody, but, you know, I got a heart for these people, but what in the world is going on? This is why, you know, there's, Ed and we all, some of us talk about this, there's no hope for this country without God. We've got a president that's anointed of God, called of God. We have prophecy. We know he's born again. We know that. I can tell you that for sure. Because I've heard from people that are in his inner circle. He is absolutely born again. No question about it. He wants God. And now, the religion of the day, and we have to forgive politicians. You know, don't you get mad at them? You've got to forgive them, though. You have to. And pray. So the religion of the day, like, you know, in the parallel here, like the Pharisees, they're going to keep him from trying to do anything that's a plan of God. And you see Christians with their stupid bumper sticking in there. You see Christians talking dumbness, thinking they're right. They're so righteously right. I mean, maybe I'm talking political, but I know Donald Trump is for this nation, for this hour, from God. So you see Christians wanting to go the other persuasion. If you're one of them, we'll take you out back and pray for you. No. But you think, but you got to realize, they're, you know, we think a certain way, they think a certain way. We're based on what we know in the Spirit, I believe. I know. So the hope for America, because we see, I mean, how excited were you the day of the election, if you're for that? I mean, I was off that day, and I was up till seeing what happened. I slept in a bit, went down to help her at the market. It was a Wednesday the next day. Most people were jovial. Most people were thrilled. And that's like, I'm using a parallel, but that's the example of a quickening of the Spirit. We got it. We got our country back. I actually heard bells ringing, church bells ringing in my spirit. And then, but there's a couple, like, they look like they were death warmed over. Their life is over. And, okay, so we're thinking, man, this is great. This is everybody's. Now, but look at where we're at now. But God, you know, the awakening, it's not politics. This is what God's going to be, this not going to be doing. He's doing it. He's moving in a direction. God is moving in this nation. So it's an awakening. It's not politics. Politics is part of being used in it. But it's the awakening that'll change things. And it's the awakening that'll take that gentleman, when I say 54 kids saved, it's like, it's the awakening that'll snap him into consciousness. This is what we're, this is why we, first of all, pray for those in authority, because it affects, filters down. It affects everybody like that. So, I'm a couple more scriptures here in Romans. You know, I know Ed said I'm long-winded and I got a lot of wind, but I've got good lungs, but I'm not going to keep you till 5 or anything. So. Romans 8, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's not subject to the Spirit of life. It's thinking on the flesh. I want that. I want that. Yeah, I want a 67 candy apple red Corvette convertible, and I'll get one, but my flesh isn't going to get it. It's my spirit. It's the word of God, the quickening of the anointing. So in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's something else that can't please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you can operate in the flesh without faith. That's a dangerous area. Whatever we do, we should do in faith. It doesn't take any faith to operate in the flesh. You know, it doesn't take any faith to get your carnal thinking going. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell on you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Verse 11, one of my favorite scriptures. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and I say he does, then he that raised up Christ from the dead, and I always switch over to, you don't have to turn over, Romans 6, 4 said that Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So the Spirit of God, the glory of God, are the one and the same in a realm of raising Jesus from the dead. He'll also quicken. What does that word mean? Make alive, making life. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that hovered over Jesus' body on that third day, raised him from his body, came back to life, and they saw him. They, as a witness of seeing him. We are witnesses. I'm a witness of the power of God and the miracles of Jesus by seeing that lady, by seeing the blind eye open, by seeing the ear open. We're witnesses of these things. So that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the glory of God, is making life, resurrection life in our mortal bodies. Now I know that's one application of that is the catching away of the church, the glorified body, but we're living in this earth. That also means, it says, by his Spirit that dwells in you. So the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, the Spirit of life quickening your body, can give you many resurrections, so to speak. Keep your body well and alive and free from sickness, disease, and dementia and all that. And if you got it or you get it, I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying start early. I've been confessing the word for years and years and years, and I'll tell you what. You talk about memory. I wasn't born with a total recall. And I say I got it. I mean, how do you think I got it? Speaking it. How do you think I'm developing a photographic memory? You think these are just something that you're born with, only a special few? Sometimes, I said this to John, I don't want to use the word scared, but sometimes when I get into a certain area, it amazes me, how did I get that? And it's not, I mean, this comes up out of my spirit. It's like, whoa. So you can have that. We are to be supernaturally operating this earth in these days. So, but this same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening, making life in your mortal bodies. I meditate on this a lot. And you know, I like to study, this is going to think this is weird, but like nutrition and that sort of thing in your body. When I was in high school, I was in advanced biology, and I loved the thought about mitochondria. I mean, this just thrilled me about mitochondria, because they're the energy-producing part of the cells. And then I had advanced biochemistry in college and, you know, all that. But now, recently, I'm reading this thing, this mitochondria and your cells, the energy-producing part of your cells, is really coming to the forefront in research. And so I take this and meditate on the Spirit of God led me to do this. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and as he does, then he that raised up Christ from the dead, the glory of God, is making life in my mitochondria. Because I'm thinking it's going to fire in all cylinders, in every cell, every tissue, every organ, every joint. He starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're meditating on that, and it just, then he'll take you to another scripture that hooks up with that. Man, I sometimes I crave more time to just meditate the word. There's such answers there. And you need to take the time. I need to take more time in a certain area. When there's big decisions, you've got to have, when he wants you to move out in a realm of in a realm that takes more money than you can figure out how you're going to get a hands on, and I don't want to borrow it, then you've got to meditate and know and know and know it's harvest time, and know that it gives you harvest. The word brings harvest, and know that there's harvest for us, and know God wants us to prosper and be in health, and know that you're supposed to be healthy all the days of your life. And if you've got something attached to you now, if Alzheimer's is starting now, get it reversed. Start talking age reversal. Start talking this. I mean, you know, your inner man's renewed day by day. So, start speaking these things, but meditate on this. And I get happy just meditate on the Word of God. It just does something to your spirit, and you get a witness, because you know your spirit's in here coupled with the Holy Ghost, and you get a witness. And how many times have there been answers in that position? Then all of a sudden you know. I don't want to get to heaven one day and he said to me, you know, if you'd have meditated more in this area, you'd have had that. Like I heard somebody say, I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want to reap it all in this life, use it for the glory of God, and then let's go out of here into the next realm, into the realm of forever. Well, we're living in eternity now. You know, and if you're feeling like you're getting older, you're getting, you know, man, I really hope I can make it, and I don't want to be decrepit and all this and that. Get over, you know, that's, you can think that way. But when you get over in the realm of the Spirit, we talk about this and things we're going to be doing. When you're in the realm of the Spirit, not just even meditating, but just talking husband and wife or friend, or prayer or something, I tell you, you get to the point where it looks so easy, and you're talking multi-million dollar things. It looks so easy. You know, but then we do have to live in this realm. So that's where you need that quickening of the Holy Ghost. And our next week, we're going to get into a few other indicators. But, you know, it does say that, you know, he's given us the earnest of the inheritance. The Holy Ghost called the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's over in Ephesians chapter 1, I believe. So, you know, the Holy Ghost is the earnest money deposit on our glorified body. Why wouldn't he want us to stay in health while we're here? He's not wanting us to die gracefully. Like, God bless Glenn Campbell. I think he handled things really gracefully for what he knew. You know, he did his final tour, I guess, knowing he had Alzheimer's and all that. But why don't we just decide we're going to be quick and sharp all the days of our lives? In verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if we live after the flesh, we shall die. There's death in the flesh. But if through the Spirit we do mortify the deeds of the body, or kill them all, I mean, mortify these thoughts, take our thoughts captive, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, 8:14, they are the sons of God. Sons of God can be led, and daughters can be led by the Spirit of God. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Here we go. He died to kill that bondage of fear. But you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He bears witness with our spirit. So, you know, if you got some quickening on the inside of you, thinking, well, how would I ever, you know, you got it inside of you, but your flesh is saying, your mind is saying, how would I ever do that? How would I ever branch out on my own business? Or how would I ever, blah, 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 whatever, be this or that? Just, okay, don't discount it. Just get quiet. Spend some time. Maybe, you know, maybe it takes days, weeks, months. Like I said, I'm ready to settle. Let's just go by. This is nice. Let's just get this. Then be done with it. No, no witness. Doesn't work. And they're not satisfied. Yeah. I'm joking here. I had a first wife like that. No, what a mess. It was my fault. But I wasn't born again. Neither was she. If I would have been, and it's just, it wasn't right. It was dumb. It was ignorant. You know, I have to literally say to myself, I refuse to recall the shame of my youth. Because there's times I have stuff come up in me. It's like, and my usual reaction is, no. It just comes out. It's like it hurts to think about how stupid could I have been. Not just that, other things. But, you know, you don't want to settle now in these days. We have X amount of time. We want to maximize it. You know, I don't want to waste my time because, you know, I told you this. My buddy, best friend in high school, passed on, just dropped dead at 64. And, I mean, I was more of a heathen than he was, I'd say. I was more of the wild. And then we had a room, an apartment in college. But then after I got born again after college, and I went my way and he went his. I remember going with him, sitting in his car while he was at catechism, whatever that is. I don't. So, you know, I guess I didn't have that, but that's where you learn. And yeah, the Apostles' Creed. I remember sitting there thinking, yeah, he's, you know, he's. But I went my way, he went his. And I know he, God bless him. I'm not saying he wasn't saved. I hope to God he was. But I know he quit going to church. And I was at his memorial service. We were at it. I said a few things. And you see people you haven't seen in years, and you listen to them, and it's like, you know, maybe they're astrophysicists. No, they're not. But what does that matter if you don't know the word? So we, you know, endeavor to do what's important now. We can live after the flesh, we can make decisions based on that, or we can be mindful of the one that's inside of us. You know, it's going to be great just to get to heaven. But I don't want to leave anything on the table, and I don't want to hear, like Pastor said, well, no, I want to hear, well done, son. You know, don't you want all the rewards you can get? You know, this is for eternity. It's forever. And there's not enough talked about reward. I like it when Pastor gets into that, talking about reward. There's not enough talked about that. You know, there's amazing reward available to us just doing what we're called to do. Like I said, last year I had a deadline. I had to make a decision. My flesh is saying, I have a deadline. I've got to know this. Just be quiet. Just listen up. We're in church. We get the answer. In the corporate anointing, we get the answer. Pastor speaks something he didn't even know pertaining to me. If I'd have been not listening, oh, I think I'll skip church. And we weren't here last week, but that was another reason. But if, you know, we're out there, I think, I want to hear from God, but I think I'm not going to go. And wouldn't have heard right, made the wrong decision. It wouldn't have been life and death. But it would have aggravated me because I would have thrown away a bunch of stuff I didn't have to throw away. So we don't want to settle. We want to use our remaining time. And when the flesh starts saying, come on already, come on, we need it now, we need it now. I know what Brother Hagin did. There's one scripture. I'm going to read this to you. But I know what Brother Hagin did. He just took the time to hear from heaven. He wouldn't move until he did hear. I know Keith Moore does that too. Keith Moore taught healing school for Brother Hagin at Rhema. And I hear him talk about this now and then. He said, you know, these people would come in, maybe terminal diseases, and they're coming in there, they got their paper, they're, you know, like note-taking. And by the way, I take notes. If I wouldn't do anything with that, you know, it's what you do that matters. You know, I can sit here and listen and retain it and do. I just happen to like notes and look back. But anyway, so Keith said these people come in, they got their suits on, they got their business suits on, and they're sick, but they need help, but they got things to do. You know, they don't have a lot of time. They got to get in here, get something, you know, the McDonald's healing. They got their big pens and their notebooks, and he's sensing this. So what does he do? He goes to the piano and starts singing a song. And he can tell, he said, you know, they're there, they're like getting agitated. Come on, we got to have something here, and we're, you know, we don't want to die, but we got to, you know. So he just settles them down. The whole service, they just worship God. Now, a lot of people go out there, I guess, like for a week at a time and get things, at that time, get a lot of miraculous results. I don't know where it's at today. I believe they still have healing school. But I'm going to read Acts 15:28 while I'm talking about that. So, you know, if your flesh is hammering you, got an answer. I know when you got to have an answer right now. And if it is life and death, choose life. Just go by the Spirit. You got to go with it. But Acts 15:28, Apostle Paul wrote this by the Holy Ghost, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. You people that seem good to me, seem good to the Holy Ghost. The witness, you know, yeah, seems good to me for that candy apple red Corvette 67 convertible, but I don't have a witness to go out and whatever they cost nowadays to go find one and just go get it now. You know, probably we'll be driving by one day and she'll see it at the corner by and we'll pull in there. And but, you know, you got to have the witness. You got to have that quickening. And that is sweet to me. I mean, when I heard that, that Sunday when Ed was preaching on that, I thought, oh, God, you are so good. You do all things well. You gave me my answer. You did. Now, you got to take it by faith. James says, you know, let him that ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you waver, you're like a wave tossed to and fro. I could have gone home and said, I wonder if that really was that just me? And I've been, There's another thing we were praying over about a certain decision, about saying a certain thing or doing a certain thing. And Pastor, he nailed that right on the button. During the service, I looked at her, she looked at me, and I said, did you hear that? Did you get it? And she said, yeah. I said, this is this. And she, yeah, I know. And sometimes she'll say to me, this isn't kindergarten. I got it. But that is so sweet. This is the Spirit that lives inside of you. He'll quicken things. And then, you know, you can get that on your own too, but I'm saying it's good to be in a corporate anointing. So, I guess we have a missions offering. I'm going to pray over this and then we're going to take our mission, receive our missions offering. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your goodness. We thank you that we are born again people.